Well, we are in the midst of a message series that's simply titled this, that Jesus is greater than everything. And if you've been with us, I've shared with you that here's my hope. My hope is that by the time we get done with this series, we have been journeying our way through the New Testament book of Hebrews, a book that was written to the Jewish believers about how to remain steadfast in their faith, how to live their life of faith, how to make Christ really greater than anything and everything in their lives. And so we've been journeying along with them in the hopes that we too would reach this place that as believers in Christ, that we would all together be able to affirm this truth. That when we look at our decisions, when we look at our priorities, when we look at our time, when we look at our resources, when we look at everything, that we could say, Jesus is in fact greater than everything. And I think this is really tough for us. I think we have so many opportunities as well as obstacles to get in the way of this. Studies tell us that on any given Sunday, only about 17% of the population is in church today. 17%. Jesus can't be greater than everything if you're only in church 17% of the time. Studies tell us that approximately 50% of people attend church once a month and consider themselves regular attenders. Well, I can tell you unequivocally that I believe that if you do anything just one Sunday a month for 1 hour a month, there is no possible way that that thing is going to be greater than anything else. And so we have been journeying with our book of Hebrews to try to say, okay, God, how do I position myself so that I truly can be a living testimony of the fact that Jesus is greater than everything there is in my life? See, because this is what I believe wholeheartedly, that if we get this one right, then the trickle-down effect, the reverb effect of this will have a transforming effect, not only in our lives, but in our world. See, here's the deal. If we want to change our world, which is what God has called the church to do, we are supposed to be his presence in our world, his physical presence in our world. If we want to change the world, it's got to begin with us. And it's got to begin with us positioning ourselves in this place where we can allow the Spirit of God to truly have his reign and rule in our lives so that we too can get to this place where we say, yes, yes, Jesus is greater than everything. And it wouldn't be just lip service, that it would be how we actually live our lives. Again, our choices, our decisions, our priorities, our resources, everything. Does our whole life tell the world that we are followers of Jesus because he is in fact greater than everything? See, I think, again, the greatest challenges that we have in our lives is that when we allow anything else to have that priority position, that's when we mess things up. And the reality is we don't really need much help doing that, do we? The human condition is that we all sin, we all fall far short of God's glorious standard, kind of sets us up for this. That's why the Apostle Paul says that we are supposed to work out our salvation. In other words, we are supposed to work hard to show the fruit of our salvation. Not that we work for our salvation, because our salvation is a gift from God. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, not by works, but our works should be an outward and visible sign of what's going on inside. And so that means that we got to work hard. We got to allow the presence of God to truly have his reign and rule in our lives so that we can live in such a way to show the world, to tell the world that Jesus is greater than everything. Well, today, we're going to talk about what I think is probably one of the greatest obstacles to this. And our writer spends about 13 verses in chapter 4 talking about it. And it's just simply this: rest. Rest. Don't you love this picture? Wouldn't you like to be there? Last night, I made the mistake before we went to bed that I said to Jenny, I said, I'm so excited that we are going to get an extra hour of sleep tonight. We should have immediately said, jinx. Because I'm not sure what time in the middle of the night one of the kids came into the room and wanted to get into bed with us. And then about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, the other one came in. And it's like, oh, I have to confess I didn't handle that one very well. I was like, please go back to bed. Although I don't think I said please. I actually think Jenny said be nice. Because I was tired. I needed rest. I needed restoration. I needed refreshment. I needed this place. Because life gets overwhelming, doesn't it? That you just reach the place where you're like, I need rest. The Bible refers to that as Sabbath. Several months, maybe a year or two ago, I think it was now, Cliff Reed sent me an email and he said, hey, George, could you preach on Sabbath? I'm like, absolutely. And the Sunday that I was going to do that, something else came up. And then I knew that I was going to preach on Hebrews and I was reading something else. I'm like, it's there. So we're going to do it, but later. And so Cliff, this one's for you, baby. And for everybody else, because I think this is one of the greatest obstacles or challenges in our walk, in our faith, to find a place of rest. Because the word Sabbath means rest. It means ceasing. And we are not good at ceasing. We're really good at busyness, but we're not so good at rest. Are you with me? Everybody like, yep, that's me. Everybody else there? Rest. So here's what I want to do with you this morning. I want to take some time and I want to talk about some of the discoveries that I have made about Sabbath, about rest. But I want to do that from a position of confession because I don't do this one very well. And so I need to immerse myself more. I need to discipline myself more so that I can experience the fruit of Sabbath, the restoration that occurs in rest, because I don't do it very well. I do well at sitting in front of the TV that my dad called a drug with the plug and just kind of checking out. But that's not rest. And I want to talk about that with you this morning as an encouragement, really, to say, how are you finding the place, the posture to rest, to cease? And what does that look like? Sound good? I'll take that as a yes. So a couple observations, first of all, about this, is that in general, I want you to understand that Sabbath or rest is designed to not be restrictive, but it's to be refreshing. So as we look at this, as we detail these things, that's what I want you to keep central. That Sabbath is not restrictive, and that's where many people in the ancient days got messed up. Because they created a whole bunch of laws and rules and regulations that governed how they kept Sabbath. It's spectacular stuff, actually. If you want to Google Sabbath to see some of the things they did, it will literally blow your mind how many steps you could take, how many things, pounds you could lift, the things that you could do. It will literally blow your mind. But I don't want us to focus there. I want us to talk today about how we find refreshment. So rest. Few observations before we read the text. First is this, that it is a positive state of being. It's a positive state of being. It shouldn't be restrictive. It shouldn't be like, oh, this is a horrible thing. It should be this positive state of being, that it is both physical and theological. So it's something we do and it's how we think. So it's both those things. It's physical and it's theological. It's different than sleep. And we all need sleep, but Sabbath is greater than sleeping. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Recognition that Sabbath was made for us and given to us. This is a cool thing. God has so wired things. When he created the world, he worked for 6 days. 7 days, he said, now this is the model, rest. He looked at everything that he had made. He called it good, very good. And then he rested. And he thought it so important that he said, hey, you do this too. We got to rest. That it is a present and a future reality. That we get to experience this rest, this Sabbath today, but when we step on the other side of eternity, it's going to be an eternal rest. Doesn't mean that we're not going to do anything. Doesn't mean that we're not going to experience relationships and have fun. We're going to get to do all that cool stuff. But it's this finding peace in the presence of Christ that we're going to experience on the other side of eternity. That is an act of faith and trust. When we rest, we're literally saying, okay, God, I believe that you got it all covered. God, I'm just going to trust that you're going to make all that stuff work out. God, I know that I have like a bazillion things on my schedule right now, but I know that I need to carve out time for you, that I need to rest in you, I need to be in this place with you, because I am so overwhelmed by you, by the things that I have to do, not by you, but so overwhelmed by things right now. Just need to take a moment of rest. I'll tell you from personal experience that the greater your calendar things are, the more Sabbath you need. Because you will find that you'll get more done when you actually do that. Then it is also no longer restricted to a day. One of the things that we discover when we study this concept of Sabbath is that it's not restricted to a day. In our time, in our world and things, it's not restricted. And if we move into a place of restricting it, of making it like just this one specific day from this time to this time, then we're going to have difficulty. And I will tell you, whatever the tradition that people come from, some believe Sabbath is Saturday, some believe Sabbath is Sunday. There are people in our world who have to work on Sunday, so what does that mean for them? So we have to look beyond what it says to discover what it means, to find the celebratory part, the reflective part of what Sabbath is all about. So for some of you today, you might experience new freedom because you might have been living under this legalism of what is it like to maintain the Sabbath and feeling so guilty that you don't take a whole day and just do nothing. For the others of you, it might be, hey, I gotta redirect because I might be pretty good at ceasing, but maybe my ceasing isn't as reflective on the person of Jesus as it should be. So we're going to talk about what this looks like, about what Sabbath, about what rest really is. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at the first 13 verses of there. And then I, again, just want to pull out a few insights for you of what I think that we can find, where we can find refreshment in this idea of Sabbath, of rest. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest." Even though this rest had been made ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of this place in Scripture where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, "They will never enter my place of rest." Referencing right here, by the way, to the Old Testament, to the time when the Hebrew people have gone out, God has freed them from captivity under the Pharaoh, and they are in the wilderness. They are on a journey that literally should have taken days. But because of their disobedience, because of their not doing what God told them to do, they had to literally wander through the wilderness for 40 years. And the generation that left under Moses, none of them made it, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. Because of their disobedience. And the rest that God had promised them was this promised land. So they had the opportunity just through obeying God, from doing what God said, to go from this place of captivity to this place of rest. But our writer tells us they blew it big time because of disobedience. So we continue. What are we up to? 6. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter it because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. Think about that word, today, because we're going to come back to it. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." A reflection back to Psalm 95 that our writer has reflected on quite a bit. When you hear the voice of God, Don't harden your hearts. Attune your ears. Position yourself to listen. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Let's pray together. God, help us to be attentive to these words, that we might find rest in you, that we might find restoration and refreshment in you. God, I believe that this is one of the great obstacles of our day, and we are so busy that we busy our relationship with you out of existence. And so whether it's one or two or a few of these points today, God, help us to rediscover this rest. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ben Witherington, one of the foremost theologians today, New Testament scholar, was one of my professors at seminary. He wrote this in one of his books. God has a rest, and the author of Hebrews calls us to enter that eschatological or end times rest of God. Not a resting place or a resting time, but a state of being. So Sabbath is a state of being. Living by faith with the peace of Christ in our hearts. Looking forward without anxiety about the future, because the future is as bright as God's promises and drawing kingdom. So here are some observations that I would have for you just about rest, about what God's intent is for us in this idea of ceasing, in this idea of Sabbath, in this idea of finding this place, this ability, this posture, this place where we just cease and rest and get renewed and find restoration, things that I think our souls and our bodies are craving right now. Observation number one, that rest is a gift where we experience the presence and peace of God. We are told in Exodus 16:29 that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. So many of us just refuse to even take that gift because we got to be doing, we got to be going, we're just like this. We are like the ever-ready bunny. And we just got to stop and say, this was a gift God has given us. He told us in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, he has given us this gift of ceasing. So there's got to be something to this, or he wouldn't have said it. So he says, you have to find the place to receive this gift that I have for you. Cease. Stop. Rest. Number two, rest is an experience of appreciating and enjoying the goodness of God's creative work. Like I said, man, I would love to be on that porch, wouldn't you? One of the things I love about the fall, I tell my girls this when we ride to school in the morning, maybe now it'll be a little bit lighter so we can see some of this again, is that look around. Do sometimes you just get captivated by the beauty of God? You know, I drive towards Floyd's Knobs Elementary, so the sun is rising kind of right there where I'm looking. And sometimes God paints the most magnificent landscape as I'm driving the kids to school. And I'm like, girls, look. Look what God has made for us. The change of colors. People drive in, stop in our parking lot, and take pictures of this big old tree out here because the colors change, and it's so beautiful. They're either doing that or the geocaching. I think they're doing the pictures, but there is a little geocache thing in there if anybody needs to find it. But rest is a place for us to experience, for us to experience the presence and peace of God. It is a place for us to enjoy the goodness of God's creative work. Genesis 1:31 through 2:3, God looked over all that he made, and he saw that it was very good. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. Maybe some of us just need to underline that and write next to it, gotta be me. You gotta rest from all your work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. So rest is not something that we just do idly and we just watch happen, but it's something that we get to experience. It's something that is a part of what we're doing as we're living in our world. And we are called to experience it and to appreciate and to enjoy the goodness of God's creative work. If you miss fall, you're missing God's creative hand at work. You're missing rest. So rest is a gift. Rest is an experience. Number three, rest is an opportunity to remember God's covenant faithfulness. Rest is an opportunity for us to remember how God has been so good, where his grace has been so evident. In Exodus 31:13, it says, the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. It is given to you so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. See, we get so busy with activities. We get so busy scheduling our kids and things and us and things that life is so busy that we fail to remember God. You're like, oh, not possible. Yeah, it is. Because what we see is that when people miss one Sunday and then they miss another one and they miss another one and they miss another one and they miss another one, is that when that happens to us, we forget about God. That's why our biblical writers come back time after time after time and they say, remember, remember, remember. Why? Because we are prone to wonder. We are forgetful people. And so if we do not gather, if we do not declare the goodness of God, if we are not in God's word, if not experiencing community, we will forget who God is and what he's done. And when we forget, we will become very different people. So for us, rest is an opportunity to remember God's covenant faithfulness. The songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, the words from scripture that we read, the messages that I do, the community that we experience, all of this for us is a call to remembrance. To say, hey, remember? Remember who God is? Remember what God's done? Oh, by the way, and he's done that for you. So that you might know his goodness and his greatness, that you might experience his love, that you might know who he is. So rest, ceasing, is an opportunity to just remember the faithfulness of God and probably the faithlessness of us because we're prone to forget. Number four, I believe that rest is a pledge of God's healing, restoring presence. Do you know what makes us really unhealthy in our world? Stress, anxiety, bad eating. Do you know where those three things come from? Busyness. We have got to be a people who rest, and it's in that rest that we discover a pledge of God's healing, restoring presence. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me. Like, just come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We have a part to play, right? He says, come, we got to go. And it's in that relationship, it's in that presence of Jesus that we can take a breath, that we can remember, that we can receive the gift, that we can experience his presence, that we can know who he is and be restored, be refreshed, be renewed by ceasing. By resting, by taking a Sabbath. Number five, rest connects Sabbath observance and creation keeping and care. In Deuteronomy 5:14, we find these words. The seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. And so what rest does is it connects us with the idea that everything needs a rest. Here, the livestock need a rest. The plants need a rest. Everything, God has so ordered things in his creative activity that everything needs a rest. And being the pinnacle of God's creation, us, he's saying you need it most. So you got to find this place to rest, and that's going to connect you with the created order. It's going to help you to remember what God has done and who he is and how he has ordered things. Number six, rest is a foretaste of a heavenly reality. I love what we see here. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. See, the Israelites, as they were wandering through the wilderness, God is saying to them through Moses, see, when you get into the promised land, it's going to be so good. He says it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It is going to be so amazing, so spectacular, because it's this gift that I am giving to you. But out of their disobedience, as I said before, they just messed all that up. Eventually, they got to go in there, and it should have all been really good. But you know what happened? Disobedience, and they forgot God. But God is saying to you and I is that when we enter this Sabbath, this rest, this presence, this positive state of our relationship with God, it is a foretaste for us of what it's going to be like on the other side of eternity. We are at such a limitation. Our biblical writers have tried over and over and over again to paint a picture for us of what heaven looks like, of what the other side of eternity, as I've referred to it, looks like. And all the words are going to fall short. But Revelation says it's a place of no more crying, no more tears, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more pain. It's so good and restful and peaceful, where we are in the presence of Jesus without any hindrance forever and ever. It's that good. And when we begin to experience Sabbath, when we cease, when we reflect and remember and receive the gift and do all these things, that's a foretaste for us of how good it's going to be. Another observation about Sabbath is that rest is an opportunity for restoration and renewal. We actually, a lot of places, build in sabbaticals, don't they? They build in time for rest, for ceasing of activities. We see it with college and seminary and graduate school professors. We see it for pastors. Many of you in your jobs, if you look through what your job requirements are, some of you in your jobs actually provide a sabbatical for you as well. Problem is, most of us don't ever take it because we're just busy. We're about doing and doing and doing. But rest, Sabbath, sabbatical, ceasing is a place for us to just get restored and renewed. I know that, man, when I can just check out of the normal activities of life and enter in this place of rest, man, I am ready to take on the day when I come back. Anybody else there? When you take a vacation and it's not one of these vacations where you're just like, do, like when you actually get to rest, are you like ready to start back at your job, and you have a different perspective, you have a different outlook, you realize things maybe aren't as bad as that they were, and you're ready to like jump back in again. That's what Sabbath will do for you. It will give you that restoration. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. In other words, God knows what we need. And he says, you need rest. And he's saying that to all of us. He's saying through his word to every single one of us, you need rest. And if you don't get it, you're going to crash and burn, because it's a time for you to be restored and renewed. Number eight, rest is an opportunity to remove the division between sacred and secular. John 4:23 through 24 says, "The time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So what does this one look like? What is it? How is rest an opportunity to remove the division between sacred and secular? Is that when we get restored, when we get renewed, then we're very consistent in all the places of our lives, and not just on Sunday morning. Is that when we enter this place of rest, when we are in this abiding relationship with Christ that is continually renewing us and restoring us and refreshing us, we're taking that gift, we're using that gift, we're experiencing the presence of Christ, then we are consistently the same people on Sunday morning that we are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That it's not just about what happens in here from 10:30 to 11:45, but it's about taking what happens here to be built up and encouraged and renewed and restored so that, man, as you go about your week and things are trying to just like notch those things away from you, you'd be like, no, I have been restored. I've been renewed. I've been refreshed. That's one of the things about worship. That's why we gather as a community of faith to worship, because we experience the presence of Christ. Scripture says where two or more people are gathered, the presence of Christ is there. And so when we come together, Jesus is with us, and we are restored and we're renewed and we're equipped to face the challenges of another week. So rest is an opportunity to remove the division between the sacred and the secular. Number 9, rest is a reward for faithfulness and obedience. Hebrews 4:9 says, "This is a special rest still waiting for the people." There's a special rest still waiting for the people of God. I don't even know how to unpack this one very much, except to say that the reward on this side of eternity is, man, I'm just closer in my relationship with God. I'm a stronger believer. I make better choices. I'm becoming more and more holy and set apart and blameless, as Scripture calls us to be. And that is a reward, because when I sin, when I make mistakes, when I do dumb things, who does that hurt? Yes, there's a reverb effect, but man, it hurts me. And when I rest, I am renewed and restored. I generally find, maybe you're this way too, those things that tempt you the most, those things that challenge you the most, is that when you're not in an abiding relationship with Christ, renewed and restored through Sabbath, through rest, those things are harder. You ever have those weeks where you just feel like overly tempted, overly challenged, like everything's an obstacle? Well, maybe it's because we didn't take the time to get renewed and restored. And maybe it's because we're not taking a daily time to be renewed and restored, taking Sabbath rest every single day to set our day, to keep our day. So it's a reward. And then number 10, rest is encouraged as an act of obedience. When we rest, when we have Sabbath, when we cease, we are being obedient to God. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:11. Let's do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fail. We are called and commanded, we are encouraged to take a Sabbath, to rest, to cease, to allow the benefits and the blessings of rest to renew us and to restore us. And it's an act of obedience, because we're saying, yes, God, you know more than I do. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to rest. I'm going to be renewed. I'm going to be restored, because I'm going to obey you in every part of my life. See, obeying is a good thing, because it helps us. See, rest, or Sabbath, as I said earlier, it is not designed to be a restrictor, but it's designed to be refreshing. Building rest into our busy schedules takes discipline and dedication. It really does. Back to the picture. In Hebrews 4:7, look what it says. God has set another time for entering his rest. And that time is, say it with me, today. Because God's saying, you are so busy. Stop. Cease. Rest. Get on the porch. Get in the rocking chair. Worship as a community. Celebrate God's goodness. Know and remember who he is, because we are prone to forget. He says, do it today. See, because if we don't do it today, if we put it off till tomorrow, if there's one thing I have learned about life, is that, like, it doesn't really slow down on its own. Anybody else ever, like, hear yourself saying this to your spouse or your friends, your kids? You know, like, when things slow down, seriously, we got to eliminate that from our vocabulary, because it's just when things get different, right? Because it's just, life doesn't change that way. So we have to change. We have to carve out rest. And so I have a couple scripture verses for you. Check these out. Come to me, all you who are labor, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Next one. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. The prophet Isaiah said it's rest that you need. Psalm 62:5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. And then in Psalm 62, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. So let's go back to the porch. Today's your day. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to do 2 minutes of rest. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to put everything down. Sometimes we say with our kids, hold your hands so that maybe you're just not as distracted. And I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. For some of you, it's going to feel like an eternity. For others, you feel like, bring it on more. But we're going to be quiet. We're just going to rest. Go. God, we thank you that you have given us a gift of rest. Father, my prayer for us, individually and collectively, is that we might find a way every day, moments each day, to rest, to find our sufficiency in you, to remember who you are, the things that you have done, the life that we have in you, so that we will not forget that you are our God and we are your people and that we are lost without you. So we thank you for the gift of rest.